Dab and Tench, Theatrical Idiots, Episode 0, The Pilot.
Here, should it be going up or down?
I am bloody no, I don't know technical stuff, you idiot.
Where's the boy? There's a boy here? Boy, over here. Should we assume that he's working there?
I think it's the only safe thing we can do, isn't it?
Apparently this is a pit cast.
A pit cast?
It might be a pit...
Bloody
it,
hell is one of those.
It's something to do with the pits or a pid. Or it could be a pud. Like my belly, my...
Oh.
I can see your belly.
God, you tiresome Mike.
Hello. Oh, it seems to work. We shall get on with it.
Go on then, if we must.
My name is Tench.
And I am Barrington Dab.
And we are, of course, thespians of the old school, I think you would call us.
There's no one listening to this who doesn't know who we are.
Well, exactly. We need no introduction. And frankly, I've never been introduced in my life to anybody.
No, they clearly.
They instantly know who I am as soon as I walk into a room.
Yes, that would be the explanation, wouldn't it?
Which is more than Michael Maloney's ever had. I'm constantly having to say, Michael Maloney? This is Michael Maloney. I'm introducing himself to himself.
No one knows who he is, do they?
They're the buffoon, if you ask me.
He's not got the reputation of one of us, too.
Well, no, darling, no.
Anyway, even if yours is entirely undeserved.
Well, how dare you. I spent three months in America doing Star City, which is possibly one of my finest works.
What?
And it was never picked up. It never even went to syndication. Apparently you can't do it with one episode.
Wretched populist crap.
Absolutely. We were going to be recording this in the Groucho Club.
But those fucking heathens, they don't understand us, do they?
Well, you did get us kicked out, didn't you?
It was entirely justifiable.
No, I'm afraid stirring the soup with your penis is never entirely justifiable.
Well, if they're going to serve me anything that bland, I think I'm morally obliged to add some seasoning for the other diners.
You ask for the blandada, which is the blandest soup they do.
Well, just because it's got it in the name doesn't mean I'm expecting it to actually be bland.
Oh, well, that's your mistake.
Royal game soup doesn't have royal people in it, does it?
It does, indeed. It's ground up people. Do you not know that?
You're an idiot, man. You're an idiot.
Well, I played an idiot in, of course, The Idiot. Which I did for Channel 4 a few years ago. It was never shown. I never understood why.
Was it, I hasten to add, because it was shit?
My dear fellow, I've never done anything shit. The script comes first.
Yeah, the script comes first, then you read the bottom line, and then you accept it, so long as it'll pay your bar tab for a couple of weeks.
Not at all. I have my lavatory test. Rather like that chap, Bob Hoskins. He has a similar test, which is, if you're sitting on the lavatory and your stool comes out full of blood, then you accept the script.
That is how you decide, is it?
It is, yes. If I have a bleeding stool, I'd say yes.
You let your piles pick your work. That would explain a lot of your previous output.
I did BBC Television's Foam Kickers for 3 seasons.
My point exactly.
I played an excellent character who ran an Ibethan foam party establishment.
An Ibethan nightclub owner who wore a cravat all the time.
Yes.
It was hardly the most convincing characterisation, was it?
Got £300 for it, and all the cock I could eat.
Well, I suppose there's got to be something in it for you, isn't there?
Indeed, sir, indeed.
Certainly not the arse, is it?
Well, I then went on to host an entire evening, a gala evening, of the works of Mr. Frank Sinatra. Remember, he was a painter.
The painter Sinatra.
This was a slideshow.
Yes.
Of his best works.
His very best works.
Very best works.
Yes, I seem to remember that. Were they the childish daubs that looked like something my dog could have sicked up?
These boots are made for walking were his best works, I thought.
Yes, I find him rather derivative. Did he not just steal all the names for his pieces of that chap that he stole his name off of?
Randy Sinatra.
Yes, that's the fact.
Yes, well, he was a good friend of mine, was Randy. We used to drink back in the old days down in Soho.
Everyone was a bloody friend of yours.
Well, yes, I'm 42 years old. I've made lots of friends over the years.
If you'd made a new friend every 10 minutes throughout your life, you wouldn't have met all the people you claim to have met.
You know, funny enough, Patrick Stewart was saying the same thing to me the other night, who I've met many times.
Yes, well, he recognises a bullshitter when he hears one.
Oh, he was apologising. He was apologising for shouting at that James Corridor chap.
Well, he bloody deserved it, the talentless bloody hack.
Well, you know, I mean, I have worked with your Stewart, and I have to say that he's a charming man, but very bad in the matinees.
When you say worked with, do you mean that time when you were paid to clean people's shoes at the hotel and he was one of the people staying there?
That was research.
Of course it was.
I was playing the part of bootblack Billy Baggins in the new production of Shakespeare's Billy Baggins Blackstone.
That would be the production that never actually came into production, wouldn't it be?
Well, they had problems with the script.
God, so do go on. Exactly how was he bad with the matinees?
Well, he would turn up literally 10 seconds before he went on stage. He would bare his chest, he would paint a picture of a child on it and shout, "Lick it off, bitch," to his understudy.
That sounds perfectly reasonable to me.
I've done the same with my penis. I've drawn a picture of my penis on my chest.
I've seen you. It is stuff like this, with people like you that don't understand the artistic temperament, is why I always work alone.
Yes, but darling, you do spend most of your time naked and writhing.
It's artistic.
The writhing is artistic?
Of course it's artistic. You're as bad as my bloody audiences coming in. They come back and complain, and I say, Madam, just because this is a matinee, and just because it is billed as a children's show, does not mean you can blithely assume that there will not be a fully grown, naked man masturbating on stage.
Well, they're Philistines, aren't they? I mean, absolutely.
It's art, but you tell these fuckers and they just don't understand.
The same people who go to the National Gallery and look at a stone statue of a willy for 6 hours and tell their children that's quality art.
Exactly. And, you know, what meaningful conclusion does the stone winky come to?
I feel that it expresses in stone the potency of the theatre.
See, this is why, Tench, you are an idiot. It comes to no conclusion at all, unlike my own throbbing member, which comes to a definite conclusion at the end of every performance.
You've been doing that when you were in Bond that time.
Well, it's why I believe, really, that's what the script was asking for.
No, it wasn't. It was asking you to die in front of a train instead you masturbated in Bond's eye.
Well, you know, you say die in front of a train. I experienced le petit mort in front of Bond's face.
Oh, I used to know Le Petit Moir.
It's essentially the same thing.
It's what they used to call Mr. Patrick Moore himself.
Yeah.
Who used to play James Bond, you know.
Ah.
Before the other guy.
Ah, yes. Yes. I always thought the monocle added a certain je ne sais quoi to the role.
Yes, I think more Bonds should really take that up. I mean, it's one of the best features of Bond. A monocle and a gun. A man is really potent. He's in touch with the modern age. He knows exactly what to do with an omelette. And verily, he knows what a woman's breast is for. It's for milking children.
Yes. It's gentlemanly and it's timeless.
And it tastes slightly salty.
We're back on this again, are we? You're obsessed with putting brackish things in your mouth, aren't you?
Yes, well, I read a book recently about it. It was written by a chap who calls himself a comedian.
Oh.
And he's named after a fish, funny enough.
Is it? Not that wretched cod man.
Yes, I'm afraid so. What a buffoon. A buffoon with a hair and a beard.
You may say it's an invigorating health tonic, but I suspect it's no good for you at all.
No, quite so. Of course, I will be off next week to America to do another film. What are you doing next week, Barrington?
What I'm doing, I'm working up my one-man show that's a brutal expose of war crimes in the Welsh valleys of the last 30 years. People don't appreciate the things that have gone on there.
Well, I shall be in a searing drama about a woman trying to conceive a baby with Hugh Grant.
And what part do you play in this? Are you the curmudgeonly butler again?
Yes.
You don't think you're getting a bit typecast?
Not really. I'm only 41 years old. I've got time yet to get my way out of curmudgeonly butler into a curmudgeonly doctor or curmudgeonly
yes,
judge.
Maybe curmudgeonly chauffeur next time. That'll be a step up, won't it?
I could do a lot for this chauffeur part. I could wear the hat. I could turn round and wink coquettishly at the people in the back seat.
God, you're such an establishment kiss-ass. Why do you insist on cheapening our art by doing these wretched, tawdry little films?
Well, unlike you, my dear fellow, I don't have a whiskey habit to keep up. All I've got is a habit of a small rent boy occasionally and a little creme de menthe the weekend. Apart from the drinking I've done today, which has been entirely excessive.
Well, that's good to hear, at least.
Say these are little podcasts. That was a name. The podcast.
Podcast. I may use that for my next solo show.
Yes. Now, we're going to be doing these occasionally, and they will be turning up on the computer thing. What do you call it?
The cash machine. That's like a.
Oh.
What's it?
The boy deals with this. I can't remember. Not the computer.
The thing where the pictures are.
The worldwide net. The worldwide net.
Net.
Worldwide
right.
net.
Yes.
It'll be up in there, and you'll be able to do. I don't know how do them. I don't know how this works. Apparently,
I've literally no idea. My life is my art. I don't have time for any modern fripperies.
Well, I've got a house full of
clothes.
I go to bed, I press a remote control and the curtains close and a boy comes in. I get up in the morning, I press a button, the curtains open and a boy comes in.
Is this luxury that has allowed you to get so flabby both in your physical self and in your acting?
I'm not flabby at all, my dear fellow. I'm as taut as I was when I was 23. In fact, I can still fit into the same collar that I wore in Whoops the Chastity Belt in 1993, which is my first ever role.
The collar may fit you, but I suspect the rest of the outfit wouldn't.
Well, you may say that.
Although, I suppose it's unlikely the cock ring's not going to fit anymore, is it?
The cock ring was an experimental production. We don't use that anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not listen to this buffoon. He spends his time writhing around the stage in oils. He knows nothing about proper acting.
It's art. It's raw. It has energy and vitality. Unlike the populist commercial pap that you turn out.
Populist commercial pap, indeed. I did a movie of the week in America about a sad orphan who'd lost his mother to AIDS. That's not populist pap.
Oh, it's terrible, lowest comedy. Everyone, you couldn't fling a brick in Hollywood without it bouncing off the head of someone who'd done a gritty drama about an orphan whose mother had died of AIDS.
She had cancer as well.
Actually, that sounds all right.
And she was black and Hispanic.
Edgy.
Yes.
I'm liking it more, actually.
It's called Le Dolly Cancer. I don't know what it means, but it sounded good at the time when I sang this.
I think for once, Tench, you may actually have done something with some meagre streak of artistic integrity.
Well, thank you very much. Indeed, thank you for listening to us for this evening, and...
Yes, thank you. I've been marvellous. He has been a shocking bore.
You bastard! Bastard! Fucking bastard!
Fucking damn!
Messrs. Dab and Tench were ably assisted by Andrew Wilson and Martin Wolfenden. It was a Gentleman's Review production for the internet. For more information about this podcast, go to www.thegentlemansreview.com/DT.